But I'd like to give us some other things to think about it. And as I was thinking about this one, I thought I'd spent a lot of time talking about how to prepare for it and thinking about the dangers of misusing the Lord's table. And I haven't spent as much time talking about the benefits of the Lord's table. And that's what I'd like to talk about today is the benefits of observing the Lord's table. And they are biblical. They are in the text. And I don't have to reach for them, or I might paraphrase them, but I don't have to manufacture some points for this. And so turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. That will be the same as we have used many, many, many times, because it's where we get our instructions to the church. Jesus gave instructions to the disciples, which were to be continued by the church, of course. But Paul gave us some very good foundational material to use as we observe the Lord's table. And we ought to be remembering that as we remember the Lord's table. This is how it's done. It doesn't tell us all of the mechanics about it, but it does give us enough information to do it the way that it would be honoring to the Lord. Chapter 11, verse 17. Now, in this I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. Those are the warnings. First of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must also be heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone takes before his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What? Have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say unto you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. But I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the new testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you drink, eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. We have talked, I think, more about the warnings than we have the benefits over the years, if you look at the cumulative total of that. But certainly we want to emphasize that today about the warnings. When we think about the benefits of the Lord's table, there are three that I'm using on the negative part of that. These are not benefits of the Lord's table. Number one, don't think that one of the benefits of the Lord's table is that if you take it, you're automatically saved. It does not save you. It is only a symbol of the body and blood of Christ. It is not really his blood. It is not really his body. And there are people that have never taken the Lord's table that will be in heaven. And one of those would be the thief on the cross, as you know. And there are others. So don't think about it that the benefit of this is all I have to do is observe this ordinance and I'm on my way to heaven. Some people would like that, but that's not the way that it works. Don't think that you get more of God's grace as a benefit. No, you have all of God's grace available to you. There's more than one way to use the term grace, and so I recognize that. And that's a Bible lesson in itself that we're not going to go into today. But I do believe that you still have God's grace without this. There is a sense in which we receive grace, but not in the sense of self-saving grace, not through the Lord's table. And don't think that getting enough to eat is a benefit. If you need that, then I just should have made more than what we have here today. This is not a meal, and that's one thing that's talked about there in the 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Don't think you're going to get enough to eat. I do remember one time when we did the Lord's table, there were some kids, and we always make, we always understand children, don't we? And I remember somebody, one of them took it, and after he drank some of it, he just said, that was good. And you know, and how do you what do you respond to that? You know, you just smile, and that's what I did. I just smiled. But we know, of course, that if any man is hungry, it says, let him eat at home. So what are the benefits? And there's five of them that I'd like to mention this morning. Two are closely related, but there are five here that I believe that we find in the text. The first one that I'd like to mention is the word remember. The word remember. Jesus said when he instituted the Lord's table that this do in remembrance of me. And that means that you think about his death. We have an opportunity today in a special way to think about the death of Christ. Now, do not raise your hands. Do not bat your eyes. Don't look away because I don't have anybody in mind or I'm not aiming at anybody, unless I'm aiming at all of this, including myself. Today, we remember the death of Christ for us. Yesterday, during the day, at any point in time, did you remember that Christ died for you? Don't answer. Did you remember it this past week? Now, I did, but it really doesn't count because I knew that we were going to have the Lord's table and I did preparation for it as far as the physical things for it. So I had opportunities this week that you didn't have to be able to think about it. And fair enough. I mean, but I don't want to take advantage of that and say, well, of course I thought about the Lord's death. I thought about it every day this week and I put time preparing the things for it. So of course I thought about it. That doesn't count. But this is the question that I would like to ask. What would have been different about this past week if you had thought at that particular time what the Lord had done for you in his death? If you had at any point in time this last week thought about the death of Christ and what it accomplished for you, would it have changed the way you felt or acted at that particular moment? And you don't have to bat your eyes on that either. Just think about it. I thought about it. I thought about what would have been different this past week or this past month or this past year. What would have been different if I had thought about what Christ has done for me? Everything else would have been pretty insignificant. And so I just want to throw that in, that we have an opportunity, and it's a benefit of the Lord's table, is we have a time not only where we remember it, but we set aside to remember it. And that's a benefit to us. I hope it makes a difference in your life and my life today. And I've already decided some things that I'm going to do differently today with this Lord's table and even in preparing, not only through the week, but preparing this morning. I'll tell you about that on one of these points. Point number one, we remember the death of Christ, and that is a benefit to us. Number two, we take the time to examine ourselves. If you didn't before, you still can do it during this service. It's not something that is limited to any particular area of any place but or any time, but you can do it today. But we examine ourselves so that we will take it in a worthy manner. It doesn't mean that you had to have been perfect. It means that we deal with our unconfessed sin, and this is a good time to do it. It's a benefit to examine ourselves. Usually I announce the Lord's table a week before. I did last week. It wasn't in the bulletin, but I mentioned it. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes it's on purpose each way. Sometimes I just want to say we ought to be ready all of the time and we ought to be ready to meet the Lord at any time. And then sometimes I think it's wonderful to have a time to prepare in a special way. And so we have the opportunity to examine ourselves and to see what we need to do differently. Number three, this is a benefit of the Lord's table. If you examine yourself properly, you are going to not be judged by the Lord about something that you would otherwise have been judged for. Pretty significant statement there. It says in this chapter, if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. And the time that we do that, that we are examining ourselves, is at the time of the Lord's table, in this particular instance. Doesn't mean you can't do it any other time. But it means that we do it in connection with the Lord's table. And praise the Lord, we are removing ourselves from judgment over sin, which would affect us if we didn't confess it, and if we didn't deal with it, and if we didn't take care of it. Wow, that's a pretty good benefit, is that you examine yourself, and when you do that and you judge yourself, you won't be judged. We're talking about judgment of believers here. We're not talking about hell. You know that. But we are talking about appearing before the judgment seat of Christ. And it says, if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. So those are the first three. We have an opportunity, the privilege of remembering the death of Christ. We have the privilege of examining ourselves, and actually a command. And because we examine ourselves, we can avoid judgment later. Make sure you don't wreck that opportunity to escape judgment by forgetting what the Lord's table is all about. That's the important factor of that as well. Number three. Four. We have fellowship with Christ himself. That's 1 Corinthians 10:16. This is a very important one. And it's talking about meat offered to idols, and he's using this as an example there. But the illustration that he uses still is, obviously, I think, the Lord's table. So 1 Corinthians 10:16. And it's where we get the term communion for the Lord's table. There are at least three valid biblical references to the Lord's table. One is the Lord's table, one is the Lord's supper, another is communion. Or we sometimes can just call it the cup and the bread. These are biblical references, but this one is in 1 Corinthians 10:16. It says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? That word communion, most of the time, is translated fellowship. It is koinonia, and it is the matter of fellowshipping with Christ and one with another. But first of all, the most important one, and that's why I divided this into two points, we have the opportunity to have fellowship with Christ when we observe the remembrance of his body and blood. And that's why it was said there, and let me just turn back and read that because I wanted to read the verse that goes along with it. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we all are partakers of that one bread. In other words, what can unite us as far as one bread and one body is that we are identified with Christ. We identify with his body. Now, this bread is not his body, and it's not his blood, but they are certainly remembrances of it. The communion of the blood of Christ. Fellowship. And then number five, we have the opportunity to fellowship then with each other. That's why I said these are similar kinds of things. But in chapter 11, as you go there, there's a phrase that says that we tarry one for another. That's rooted in several things. The meaning of the word there can mean that we wait for one another. Certainly, the people at Corinth needed to wait. They needed to wait for those that were in need, and what they were doing is rushing to get to their meal that they brought. They weren't sharing it with another. You know, that's one of the dangers of that. And so as they were rushing to that, they were not thinking of somebody else who was then going hungry. And probably the most significant thing that they did is they got drunk at the Lord's table, but they also went away filled and other people were going away hungry. I can't imagine why a church would put that into practice where people would have a meal to celebrate this as well and then send some people home hungry. What a shame. What a shame on them. But what a shame on us as well if we don't use it as an opportunity to wait for one another, to think about one another, and to fellowship one with another. That's why it's talking about the communion when it talked about there in the chapter before. It says we have communion with him through the bread, but then we have communion with one another because of that bread that does, in fact, bind us together. It also, it refers back then to verse 21 in this chapter, but the meaning that if you knew somebody was coming, and back in those days, without vehicles, vehicles don't even help sometimes all the time, but without vehicles, you didn't know when somebody was going to show up. And the idea was that if you knew they were coming, make sure to wait for them. Don't be so hungry that you start eating this feast, which they were doing. And there was nothing wrong with the feast itself. What was wrong is how it got in the way of the Lord's table. It didn't have to be that way. But because it was getting in the way, Paul says, if you're hungry, eat at home. That's why we don't have a potluck on the days where we have the Lord's table, because we don't want it to get into the way. but I also don't want to miss out on this chance to fellowship one with another. What I tried to do this morning, and probably nobody noticed, but I tried to smile more than I do usually on Sunday morning. I tried to smile at everybody, and I'm sure I've missed some of you. So if you don't say this morning, well, he never smiled at me. Well, maybe I haven't been close enough to you, or maybe I was smiling and you didn't recognize that as a smile, as you know. There's a number of things there. But I have tried consciously to make a part of this Lord's table today the fellowship with other believers. Tarry one for another, and I'm not reading too much into that. They were not doing it in the chapter. They were not waiting one for another. And consequently, they weren't fellowshipping. And then we have the fact of the communion together. But I will end this part of it by reading what John Gill said about this, one of my favorite commentaries, as you know. He's not God, and he's not infallible. But this is what he said about that matter of tarrying one for another and about the unity that we have in Christ. The apostles' view is to promote unity, Christian respect, and brotherly love in the ordinance, that they would sit down and join together according to the rule of Christ without respect of persons or going into parties or factious or divisions. Now, I'm not saying that we have those things, but I'm saying that I'm concentrating on that today. I love you folks, and it wouldn't matter where I looked today. I would be able to say that I love you folks. And I want that to be a part of what we are doing today as we observe the Lord's table together. By the way, there's a reason we do it as a church ordinance and we don't do it singly at home. Is there any reason you couldn't just take it by yourself at home? Well, you would miss out on this part of it. I have gone to people's homes at their request with the Lord's table, but I have also made sure that they don't think that's going to save them. I don't want that to be part of the factor there. And I've also taken some other people from our church along, as many as maybe would fit in their room or would be willing. And so we've had just a little service there where we had the Lord's table. And by the way, I would do that for anybody. I would bring some people along, but we would want it to be fellowship as well as the number one thing, we want it to be fellowship with Christ himself. And we want it to be remembrance of what he did for us. So please keep these things in mind today as we observe the Lord's table, benefits of the Lord's table, and I will name them once, and then I will ask the deacons if they would come. Remember the death of Christ for us. That's a benefit to the Lord's table. We take the time to examine ourselves. If you don't, you're missing out on one of the benefits. Because we examine ourselves, we avoid judgment later. That's a benefit. We have fellowship with Christ himself. And we then have fellowship because of our fellowship in Christ. We have fellowship one with another. And I don't want to omit or not mention that part today. And that's going to be one of the focus that I have. The number one focus is going to be on Christ and what he did for me. And my goal is to remember it more times than just this morning, today. And my also goal, as you know, sometimes the Lord's table is going to be to continue to think about it as I shake your hand today. We don't have to talk about it necessarily, but I just want it to be on my mind as I shake your hand and as I greet you. And so I would appreciate nothing else in our minds that would detract from it today, the fellowship that we would have. That's my goal for today with the family of people that I genuinely love.